express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art in the Air. Hey, our underwriters for Art in the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and we have a special regional art partner in Mary Levan, our new patron for Art in the Air.
Sweet Mary.
The Energizer Bunny of Northwest Indiana, and of course our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. We'd like to find out more about leasing space in this historic technical building on good old 130 here in Valpo. Call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 462-5821. Thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager, for all his support.
He's the best.
Hey, if you're interested in being a guest on our program, you can send us information or even in our events catalog to artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Hey, by the way, Art on the Air is sponsored by the Indiana Arts Commission through an arts project grant we got through South Shore Arts Region 1 and the National Endowment for the Arts. So that's how we're on the air. Our programs are streaming at WVLP.org, so if you can't hear us on over the air, you can hear us that way. This show is rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show archive all the way back to the very beginning when Esther and I took over at breck.com/AOTA. That's breck.com/AOTA. Along with our detailed arts events calendar, we have that there too. Hey, our shows are carried by Lakeshore Public Radio every Sunday at 7 p.m. That's 89.1 FM. And we also are on WIUN, Red Hawk Radio. That's IUN's Northwest closed circuit station there. Hey, we'd like you to like us on Facebook because we are now getting anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 reaches every week. So we're getting out there. By the way, WVLP has something special coming up. They have on Sunday, March 29th at 6 p.m., their annual music fundraiser Stars Over Valpo at Valparaiso University's Duesenberg Recital Hall. Come out to support the mission of WVLP while you enjoy great music, including a wide variety of musical genres and assortment of local musicians. And I won't go through all of them, but we have about 12 acts lined up, so you can get out there. Tickets are only $20 for this great lineup of entertainment. Hey, they're available from WVLP show hosts or on Eventbrite. And you can find out more information about it at WVLP.org or on our Facebook page. So, hey, we'd like you to come out support WVLP on March 29th to support this station and how we go on the air at Stars Over Valpo.
It's a fun evening.
It is. It is. And they're going to have, instead of doing just one song each, they're going to have the acts do a lot more things. So, by the way, we're talking about underwriting support. We need your underwriting support. Whether it's little Mary Levan by herself supporting us or a different business. In fact, I just talked to a lady the other day when I was at the chamber luncheon and from Hoosier Highlander, and you know, I might be convincing her to become an underwriter.
That's good.
Because what's happening here at the station is we're upgrading our equipment. We're going to be able to take phone call interviews. Our board's going to be improved. There's going to be a lot more things happening, but we can only do that with your underwriting support. So you can find out more about that. You can find that on our Facebook page. And are on our website too, but you also go to the WVLP.org stroke site. That's WVLP.org/support, and you can support us in whatever level you want. We'll read you on the air and show that you are. We especially would love you to be a supporter of Art on the Air. So, you know, don't just be a listener, though we appreciate your listenership. We want you to become a supporter. And like I say every week, and this always gives Esther a smile and a chuckle, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good, and you'll feel so good about supporting WVLP and Art on the Air. Well, let's start with the art calendar. Porter County, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts. They are continuing with Brown County and Beyond. That exhibit going on. They have Spectral Speculations, Japanese prints from their collection. They have Unfinished and prints by Latiro Capelli. So these are all at the Brower Museum. Village Gallery at the Pines. Well, our old friend Susie Vance is there. She's a fiber artist who paints using non-traditional materials. She'll be going there until mid-March. That's the Village Gallery in Valparaiso, part of the whole Village at the Pines. Chesterton Arts Center. Well, they are one of the few groups that sends us everything they're doing. They have a whole wide range of spring classes going on, but they continue right now. The 18 artists exhibit is closing this weekend, and they'll be starting on Wednesday, the opening reception for the Duneland School art exhibit, the kindergarten through 8th, and then later this month they'll be doing the high school exhibits. Always a great thing. Monday night ceramics have started, and of course next Wednesday, Mark Vanderwine does his Wednesday night critique night at 7:30 there.
That was almost a tongue twister for you.
It was. Almost got it all out. Art Barn continues with the Duneland Photography Club through March 14th. Anticipating spring, it features about 18 photographers. They also have just started spring classes to sign up, so you can do that and find out information. And by the way, you can see all the hyperlinks on the event page if you go to our website. Artsy Fine Arts, they are now also gearing up for all their March classes. They have a whole wide range of it. They're right now only on Facebook, but you can put it Artsy Fine Arts and Antiques in Chesterton. The Ellen Firm Gallery, well, Henry Schultz and Deb Armstrong, area art photographers, they have their exhibit there. You can see all their work. It opened on February 14th, continues through the middle of March. So you can see that at the Ellen Firm Gallery. Good on US 12 there, Beverly Shores. Kevin Firm, by the way, is still exhibiting his work at the Catholic Theological Union in Chicago, and that's going to be going through May, and so you can see all the information
and
about that.
And if you're there, please go see it.
His work is phenomenal. Yeah.
He's a wonderful artist.
And he's so modest. You talk to him, you just, you know,
He's
a good guy. Depot Museum and Art Gallery. Well, they're going to be hosting their third annual 5x5 exhibit at the Depot, and they're still looking for artists to come out, so you can pick up, and I think they've extended of this date, originally by March 1st, you're supposed to pick up your artist's 5x5 canvas or frames.
Well, they're not in yet.
Yes.
So I called yesterday.
I went by there myself to pick it up, and Leo said, no, we don't have them in yet. So he also invited me to... Phone first. Call first. Always. He also invited me to maybe have an exhibit there, which I didn't even ask about. So that was great. So the 5x5 exhibit's coming up in May. We're going to have details more coming on that and have them on the show. Memorial Opera House. Well, they continue through with Mary Poppins till March 1st. So you have a chance this weekend to catch it one more time. And so have a jolly holiday with Mary there. No, I haven't. You know, I've been swamped with this other things I'm going on in my life, so I haven't been. You know, it's funny. People ask me that about theater. Hey, did you go to see this? And after doing it for 41-some years, going to theater is sometimes a little harder to do because I'm not used to being an audience. I'm used to running the show, so it's hard to be an audience.
That's true.
It is. It's like, you know, I need to be on a headset making sure everything's running. So, Dig the Dunes. Well, I think she has a few more calendars left. You need to call Eve and let her know. She can check online. Last time I checked with her, she had a few left, so do that. Also, she's got some wonderful things coming up. Always check the Dig the Dunes site for what's going on. Chicago Street Theater. Well, coming up, they have a black comedy opening on March 6th. Through March 21st. Find out details about that. It's a dark and yet funny comedy. 4th Street Theater. Well, their performance on March 13th opens with art. And, of course, they also have their improv group called Make Shift Up. On March 14th, they'll be going to Yuck of the Irish.
You find out you did that very well.
I tried to do it slowly, so we're all okay. And so they have a celebration of St. Patrick's Day. All the details is on our page. And that's what we got going on at Port County.
Wow,
going on
we've Port just County? Like finished our time with just
yeah, we only have time for our guests. Well, thanks for being here today, and we're done with the arts calendar.
LaPorte County, the Thaddeus C. Gallery, is located in downtown LaPorte, and it is an absolutely fabulous gallery. Please go and visit them. Lubeznik Center for the Arts, their current exhibit closes, I believe, on the 29th, so just another day to go see that. It's local at LCA. It's Art from the Area Artist Association, opening March 6th, Round Hole, Square Peg. Also another day for absorbing the abstract student works from the LCA, and that's in the NIPSCO Art Education Studios. almost Maine. And I want to thank the Holdcroft for reaching out to us for our calendar. I appreciate it so much. Almost Maine is the inaugural show for the Holdcroft Performing Arts Center in Michigan City. They're performing the last weekend in March. And they've hosted the Young People's Theater for years, but it's now expanding into adult, older adult shows. So I'm looking forward to that. Rising Phoenix Gallery, March 6th through the 30th. Cycles will be on exhibit. SFC Gallery, their Artist Appreciation Night is on Friday, March 13th from 5 to 8 p.m. Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serco. His exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes, and it's his recent paintings and drawings. And I want to say much love to Bob. The Comic and Drawing Club is still happening, but right now we're picking a new day and time, so stay tuned for that. First Friday Drum Circle with Don Wenig starts at 6:30 p.m. March 6th is the next one. Saturday, March 21st, and every third Saturday, the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent. That begins at 7 p.m. It's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. Carol. Brain Injury Support Group is held in the Nest during the winter months, every third Wednesday of the month. So March 18th is our next meeting. March is International Women's Day celebrations, and the Nest is hosting 4 Sundays worth for the Michigan City Commission for Women. March 8th, it's tributes to prominent suffragists, and we'll have some activities, making our own stashes and protest signs and refreshments. All these programs are from 2 to 4 p.m. March 15th, Songs of the Brave Women, Songs of the Brave Woman. Original music, protest songs, and sing-alongs with Artivist, Earth Folks, Roots Singer, Songwriter, there's my tongue twister, Leah Shoshana, and the Rose Band. Refreshments also, 2 to 4 p.m. March 22nd, Laura Scruggs, storyteller, Ada Chang, storyteller, Lisa Marie Farver is a poet, Terza Joy is a singer-songwriter and jazz vocalist. That'll be on March 22nd. And March 29th, Dan Schaff has put together an entertaining glimpse into women's suffrage through pre-1920 silent films. It's going to be great programming. Please come. March 14th, Open the Vault in the Second Layer Storytelling Workshop from 10 to 4 with Roger Batten and My Path Bibliotherapy. Art and Horse-Assisted Healing and Empowerment, March 28th, 2020 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. No art or horse experience is necessary. And more details on all those events on the Nest Michigan City Facebook page.
And one more LaPorte County thing, I think, and I don't have the details in front of me, but the Hoosier Star is opening up auditions, I think, early March. We're going to have Tim King on next week to talk about that, but that's you can go to the LaPorte Symphony website or Hoosier Star and find out information about what you need to do, young people, to audition.
They need to, like, WVLP, Art on the Air, WVLP at Gmail.
They did, actually.
Did they? I didn't see it there.
Yeah, it was there. In fact, I thought I forwarded it to you, but I saw that. So, but anyway, it's still coming up, so we can really hit that next week. And
that's true.
So, young people, if you want to audition, that's it. Well, we're going to move to Lake County. Studio 659, well, they're wrapping up their artistic license salon show. In fact, I think there's artists are supposed to start picking up their work this weekend, but they have now a call for art for portraits. That's through March 6th, so if you're interested in exhibiting at Studio 659 and 119th Street in Whiting. Details are on their website and Facebook page. South Shore Arts. Well, one thing about that is I had the wonderful lunch in Purdue Northwest Chess Gallery, and they had, oh, I bet you, almost 50 people
actually,
there.
Actually, that was on my calendar, but something else got booked at the Nest, and I had to be there.
Bad day for driving, I can tell you that. But there was a lot of people there, and actually made a lot of contacts for Art on the Air.
I saw that.
I mean, and so we're hoping to do that, getting some new guests on and everything like that. But anyway, at the South Shore Gallery itself, Bachman Gallery continues with Maurice Sendak's memorial exhibition that's going through April 12th. The Atrium Gallery, Earth Forms, is still continuing through March 8th, so you got one more week for that. Crown Point Gallery, they have Winter in the Dunes, and that's going to also end on March 8th, so you can get out there and see that. It's a combination of various artists. Substation Number 9 in Hammond, Julio Guerrero, Gallery of the Voice, is continuing through the middle of March. Toll Theater, Jim Sergi, it's a real thing. You can go see that. They'll have a new artwork, and I think this is the last weekend he's up. Cafe Fresco, Stark Minus Digital Paintings, and that'll be running through there. South Shore Chamber Luncheon was a great thing, but also you can now see everything at there. Go to their website or Facebook page to keep up to date. And if you ever have any questions that you need answered about what's going on there, we give Donna Catalano, our friend, a call. She really supports Art in the Air. Said that this is great that we have a long-form show that talks about arts in the area. So
Donna's just so supportive for the whole region.
She is.
She just really...
And I had a chance to meet with Libby, who is our commissioner for Region 1, appointed by the governor for the Indiana Arts Commission. We had a chat and had a great time at the luncheon. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, they are continuing their Black History Month exhibit. It'll go just a little bit past this weekend, so you can go see that. It opens Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. South Lake Artists Cooperative, our wonderful Slackers. Well, they're still doing their coffee exhibit, the Sip Coffee House and Crackle at Sip Coffee House 2 in Highland. They have upcoming, they just closed, I think, art information. We're going to have her on in a couple of weeks to talk about it, you know, to everything. So it'd be wonderful what we have going on with them. Can we actually get some Slackers on this show? Paul Henry Gallery, well, they're still doing Interwoven Stories, combination exhibit. They'll be going through the middle of this month before we have a new exhibit going up there, which we'll talk about later. Theater at the Center, well, you can almost have a chance to see Almost Heaven, John Denver musical, March 22nd, so you can get to that. It'll be a great thing. Promise You Art House continues with Nostalgia. That opened on February 1st, and it's a whole Promise You Art House is right there on Kennedy Avenue in Highland. The Fox Gallery, well, they are having their fifth anniversary Artist Night potluck on February 28th. And if you're listening to us live, that's today, Friday, the February 28th, 7 to 11. It's a $5 cover, bring a potluck, and then you're going to have music and celebrate the artists that have exhibited there. And that's in Lake Station, so we got to get them on the show sometime. Lakeshore Community Concerts, well, March 12th, they're coming up with the Maxwell Quartet from Scotland. That's at 7 p.m. at Munster Auditorium. You can find out information on, again, on our page. Northwest Indiana Symphony, well, March 6th, they're coming back, and they're performing Vivaldi, Four Seasons, Rachmaninoff, Piano Concerto, and Beethoven's Symphony No. 5, probably the definitive classical music form. Jana Resnick will actually be doing the Piano Concerto. We've had her at my theater when I was doing that. The 7th annual For the Love of Art Fair, Michiana's premier art fair, is going to be going on. That's going to open Saturday, March 7th, and run Sunday, March 8th. And you can go that's at the Discovery Hall, South Bend Century Center. And then Purdue University Northwest, which is some other people we hooked up with, they are doing Order in the Court and a double bill trial by jury, Gilbert and Sullivan and The Devil and Daniel Webster. So they're going to have all these at performing there. That's not happening until April 17th through 24th. That's at the Hammond campus, and I spoke to the director and the musical director there, so we'll have more information. In fact, we schedule them on the show, unfortunately, for their second weekend. So, hey, where's your art item? Well, you can send it to artontheair@gmail.com. We'll be happy to read it on the air, and if you're interested in coming on the show and talking about what you're doing, we'd be glad to have you on. You are listening to Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. Here's a longtime friend to Art on the Air and composer of our theme music, Billy Foster and his trio. Thank you. and composer of our theme music, Billy Foster, and his trio. Art of the Year is very pleased to welcome to our show a Telly Award-winning and Emmy-nominated spokesperson who has a passion for people with her show that educates, motivates, makes a difference one topic at a time. She brings her a wealth of experience and is seen frequently on Lakeshore PBS. Please welcome to our show, Art in the Air, Whitney Reynolds of The Whitney Reynolds Show.
Hello. I am so honored to be here with everyone.
Aloha.
We're so excited to have you. So, well, what our audience would love to hear, Whitney, is your journey. You have kind of an interesting journey of how you came here. So, like, how you got from where you were to where you are now, your whole journey of working along the way in school and all that.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that started for me at a very young age. I was one of those little kid dreamers that when most girls were dressing up as Barbies, I was pretending to be Sally, Jesse, Raphael in my living room, and I would pull out my toilet paper roll with a tennis ball on top to be my microphone and make whatever friend, neighbor of mine let me interview them. And so I would do that in my living room and was always encouraged at a very young age to dream big and to dream deep. And even as a small kid, I knew there was this big dream in my heart, but there was also like other dreams, you know, like I still wanted to play sports. There was other things I still dreamed of, but TV was my longing for a career. And that was very unique, I would say, to most people that met me as a 5 to 8 year old living in a small town in Oklahoma to have this aspiration to be a major television show host. So at fast forward a few years, I would sneak behind the couch when my mom wasn't looking and watch Jenny Jones. It kept evolving, this dream. It didn't stop with Sally, just Raphael. It went to Jenny Jones. And I had this fascination with women in television and how they crafted their stories. And the reason I said sneak behind the couch, because my mom, very Bible Belt area, really didn't believe in the hooting and hollering that was going on back in the day on TV, like the Jerry's. Right. Even though I could kind of hear the ring of Whitney one day, I knew there would be some tweaks with my future show. So fast forward a few more years, my family went through a very challenging time, one that impacts not only me, but other people in my family. So I actually, I keep that story a little close to chest right now, just because it does impact other people than just me. But our family went through a very pivotal moment that was extremely hard and very hard for being where we live and very, very hard for the year that everything happened. It was not 2020. It wasn't Chicago. So I'll just keep it as that. It was a very hard situation for the location and time. And I had this connect the dots moments in my 20s that happened. It was like, I didn't have this dream as a kid. And I also didn't have this challenging childhood. And that's really what developed the Whitney Reynolds Show. Now, going back like in my years of, you know, from middle school on to where I am now, I always stayed course of television. I went as an intern to Good Morning America. And then I started anchoring a morning show outside of my hometown. I lived outside of Dallas and got to be in Market 161, where I learned literally how to talk on television for 2 hours a day. I was their morning anchor, and then I was a reporter producer. And that was really some of the seeds that were teaching me not only how to talk, but the right questions to ask, how to communicate with a viewer where, you know, they want to know more. But with news, you only have a limited time. So how do you craft that story within that time? So I learned a ton whenever I was a morning anchor. And then I moved here and I started Weekends with Whitney, which was an around the town show. I've always had the gift to gab. And I love knowing the intricate details of someone's story. But like I said, it was this moment in Chicago where I had this platform. And I literally, it was like the dots connected. It was like playing connect the dots, but in my head of like, okay, I don't accidentally have this show. And I didn't accidentally have that hardship. And for years I was told, what I went through, you're not that person anymore. You don't have to say that's part of you. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is what I need to be for other people. I need to be that safe space for all stories, that people know that their story matters and the challenging times can really facilitate a lot of hope. And so that is when the Whitney Reynolds Show formed. And I remember it was like the day before I met my husband, and I was getting ready to pitch the network. And whenever I say the network, it was WTTW at the time. I was going in to pitch them. And I remember just being kind of nervous about taking this leap into something so different, because I was told that won't sell, Whitney. What sells is you being at restaurants and trying food. What sells, Whitney, is you being out and around town and talking about the newest movie or fashion. But I knew my passion and my story didn't collide in that way. And I was called to do something more. For me personally. And I have so many friends that are doing those type of shows, and I love it because that's their mission, but that wasn't mine. And so I pitched PBS and they picked me up, and it was a life-changing moment for me, because that's when I stepped into what I know I've been called for here on this earth.
And we appreciate you coming on and sharing a little bit about your story, Whitney.
Thank you. It's really neat to have the opportunity. I always ask people to share their story, and to share mine with you has been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Whitney.
Thank you.
You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
And we are now ready to move on with our guests. We have one of which I know fairly well, and Carol Estes, and we'd like to welcome you to Art on the Air.
Hi. Nice to have it. Nice to be invited. Thank you.
Well, that's good. When we were setting this up, you said that. Well, we'll start with you, Carol. Tell us a little bit about where you grew up, how you got to what schooling you had, and how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Oh, my gosh. I started in I was actually born in Kansas, but spent all of my school years in Kansas City, where I grew up. And my father was a music teacher, so that's the path that I led. And I went to band camp every summer, so I decided to go to Northwest Missouri State. My grandmother had attended there in 1922, and my father was born up there, so I ended up going to there. Graduated with a bachelor's degree. I went in for medical technology and came out with a radio and television with a bachelor's degree. So you could already tell that my life journey is going to be a little
very interesting.
Very interesting. And I did radio news, and I did copywriting at another 24-hour country music station, which was quite the experience.
Explain that to our audience, what copywriting is.
Oh, I wrote the commercials for the commercial AM radio. We had it was an AM station only. And so we wrote for all of the feed, the people who replaced your window, everything. We wrote all of the, and we were in the basement of a building, and Elvira was vibrating through the building the entire time, because that was like the number one country song at the moment. So we would come and go with Elvira. And but I left that, came back to Kansas City, and started doing some TV production, where it was the first time when infomercials started, like in, this was about 1980, and they were doing the 2.5 minute on UHF channels. And I was lucky to do, I did some promotion work where I helped create some of the food for the egg infomercials, where the egg would be nonstick, and then you would have all this beautiful food. And I would do some props, and then it just turned out that it was difficult to be a single female and try to maintain any kind of good job opportunities in town. And so I was looking for something else. Ended up meeting my to-be husband, and he got transferred back up here. I followed.
That's convenient, you know.
Yes, so I followed, and I came to La Porte when I was 25 years old in 1980, and I'm still in the same house and going to be turning 64. So
you can sing the Beatles song now.
That's right. When I was, and see, I still have to wait because it's not yet. So
okay.
It'll be this time next year I can sing it. I'll learn all the words again. But it's been quite an experience, and I ended up not working in my subject of education, but I ended up with an antique store downtown La Porte, and that was 28 and a half years of of work that I absolutely loved, and had a 10,000 square foot building, and we sold things and bought things, and I knew all the people, their parents, the kids, and so it was quite the social thing. So I'm now retired and
busier than ever, actually.
Busier than ever. In fact, I have a friend. Hi, Linda. She thinks there's three of me, myself, and I. And so whenever she sees me, she says, which one of you are here? And so it's a game we play and trying to figure out how the virtual me's and where I come and go.
So you just kind of got into photography as an ancillary thing to other things you were doing. So let's just talk about that. Besides the other art, we'll get into that later.
Actually, when I was 50 years old, I was suddenly widowed. And that turns everything in your life upside down. You don't really know which is up or down. And I had to kind of piece everything back together, including my mental abilities. And I started, I had a little point and shoot camera, and I started shooting the birds out of the window. Ended up in Birds in Bloom magazine. And I thought, well, maybe somebody would like this. And so I kept teaching myself more and more, because I could see the vision, like Paul would be able to construct. I could see a vision, but I couldn't figure out how to get there with the technique of the camera. So I had to teach myself the techniques of photography, because I didn't know. Right. I walked in without any technique, just what was in my head and vision. And so that's where I scrambled to do. And so I used it to battle the inner grief and how to deal with things. And I was also still running my business and doing all these other things. But
yes.
And but so really, you have, when you have that vision, it doesn't really matter what platform you work on. You are pushed to do better. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in my antique business, I needed to know more. I didn't know why did things end up where they were. What kind of path they took, stories that they told. And I would spend time researching. And one of my favorite classes in college was genetics. And I ended up doing an independent study on counting all these fruit flies and things. But I found out that researching and doing and learning and knowing the people on the other side of my counter loved the stories. And now with the camera, we tell the story. And I do. I spend a great deal. I know he does too.
Yes.
We spend a great deal of time telling the story with the camera. And that is just a little extra than just popping the shutter button.
It's true, because, you know, we all have our cameras and we're all taking photos. But to capture something that's so evocative that somebody wants to comment on it, or it just touches them, it's really quite a seeing skill.
Do you think that not having been taught technique and learning on your own, and this is because I'm sort of in that field, I never took a photography class either, but I came from a very visual one. Do you think that helps you do some things that are maybe more creative? The one thing, the comment they always say about photography, your first 10,000 images are your worst.
That's about true.
And that's about true. You really learn. And what I've done in my photography journey is I've done a lot of reading. And so, I look at what people's take. So while self-taught, I really made a study of it. And of course, as a lighting designer in theater, and eventually a director, I'm very apparent of the stage picture and the life picture and everything like that. Carol, what do you think about that?
I was actually set up at a show in Elkhart, and a gentleman walked into the booth. I had just finished a self-portrait piece I had worked on teaching myself lighting.
Right.
And it was just sitting on the table, and he said something. He liked everything about it. We had a conversation. Turns out he's a photography instructor. And I asked him, I said, I come in without any technical ability, and how do I, move forward? And he said, there's two doors. There is the technical door and there's the artistic door. And he said that he had a student come in and ask him who came through the technical door. And he said, how do I go into through the artistic door? He said, technique will come. So that told me that so not to sweat it out too much. Right. But the fact that we came through the artistic door, and there are people that spend a lot of time in photography classes, but sometimes I wing it. I'm very independent, so I needed to do it my way.
You do things way beyond photography. I mean, obviously wildly talented. And you made a comment that you just didn't want to explore that artistic side because you thought it was weird. Feel that going into the arts was kind of weird. Was it like in high school? Yeah, no. Just like how, like where you are right now is so fabulous. I mean, now because you do have the technique and you already have the artistic side, the photographs are so spectacular. I so appreciate them.
You know, something I notice about photographers, and sometimes you have what I call equipment photographers. Look at what I got. I've got da 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 da. But when you look at their photos, they're all right. But there's not, and then there are people that, and this comes back to your technique versus, you know, artistic doors. I think there's very much so, because I know a lot of nice people who have great equipment who are like, well, look at what I got. I got this lens. Okay, but what are you doing with it? You know, these are tools. Yeah. And I tell a lot of people when they're starting out in photography, you know, and they look at some of my higher end equipment. I say, well, this is great, but I said, you can do things with really less equipment. You just need to start. And one of the best techniques I think I tell people is when you're looking through the viewfinder, or however you're doing that, imagine that as a print or something. You know, start to visualize that as something else other than just, oh yeah, look at that, and looking through the viewfinder. And I think that's one of the best things, because that's kind of what I thought of, is how's this going to look on a well, now I do most of my stuff on canvas, or how's this going to look as a final piece. So,
well, look at Joel Brussel and his iPhone 7. He does everything with his iPhone.
That's true. I call it the aha moment. Mm-hmm. Because you can be sitting still just kind of running through your Facebook feed, because I have tons of photography groups and friends and stuff, and portrait photography, everything. And a lot of people, most of them do commercial work.
Right.
And I don't do commercial work. Commercial eyes are different than artistic eyes. But there is a need for me to go through that technical eye to do, and then all of a sudden, all of a scroll through, oh, crap. That's what that, you know, and in your head, and it goes bingo, and you have that aha moment. And because there's just something little that takes that artistic thing to another level, because you're able to navigate through all the technique of the camera.
Sure.
Equipment photographers.
Well, and some of your pieces that are currently on exhibit at the Lebesnik with the area artists, they're very abstract, and yet they're photography. I mean, you know, you had that also at Southern Shore in the last exhibit we had there. So.
Right. Yes. And I found out that there are a lot of photographers, and I wanted to find my own lane. And it just kind of, that was kind of accidental that I was somewhere, and then I learned to kind of do, so I called it impressionism in art photography. And using camera movement while I'm taking the picture, and it creates the illusion of a painting. And it's just amazing. And you can see the movement in the photo. And that's why I say a conversation, once a conversation starts about a piece in photography, it's a win-win already, because a few things will stop you in your tracks to start a conversation. And that's what I think is important.
I noticed that Henry Schultz is experimenting a lot with very, very abstract photography and everything like that. The rule of digital photography, underexposes better, overexposes. Even in film era, if you overexpose, you usually could still recover it. But in digital photography, you hit that overexpose, it's
just actually adds mood. You can't add in mood later.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I have some from my last Western journey multiple years ago. I haven't actually gone back and...
His bird photos were just astounding, because I think most of us had never, ever seen. And he captured just amazing bird photography while I was there. And I think we're all kind of like bringing Costa Rica up on the top of our list to do.
You have such a sensitivity for nature. It just comes through in your photographs. You love it.
I love it.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah. You know, weddings and though I'm very select about weddings, I only like to do small weddings. You know, I don't like the big that require multiple. Well, my wife, Carolyn, does photography, so she'll be my second person. But usually, it's like I'll do a smaller wedding and everything. And I usually, I'm very select about that. And then, of course, I have a studio at my house, so I can also do headshots and portraits and things like that. So, Carol, you have another thing that you do besides photography. You've done poetry and things like that.
I have.
And you've. Let's see.
It goes back to a little back to when I was going through this revelation of grief and things. I ran into a friend who Connie Edwards, who was running a little poetry group, and my great grandfather wrote poetry, and I'm in the process of assimilating his work and integrating my photography in it. And she said, "Well, bring it with you and see how it works in a contemporary crowd." And so I read one of his pieces, and then it turns out that I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning 2 days later and started writing my own work. And I hadn't written anything probably since I was in college. And so now I do performance in different places, and it's just amazing. And it started a life of its own. And I tell people, I don't know where the pieces come from. They just spill out onto the paper. And the next day I'll wake up and think, where the heck did that come from? But
Well, can you give us a sample of that?
I sure can. Actually, I had a piece I had pulled out until I realized that you have a new underwriter. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read a piece that I wrote about Mary LeVan for her 90th birthday.
Very good.
I won't tell you what year that was, but it was not this year. It's called The Tallest Cheerleader. I stand here now with a passing ship that has righted itself in the harshest seas. Her flags fly high, her masts decorated with the tatters of life's plights. Grit and stamina and a wicked smirk that told the world she could take on water and still soldier on. Her crew was small, but the captain guided them across perilous gangways, directed forward to live life at its best. They say history repeats itself, but in our lifetime, we shall never again admire a flagship of this magnitude. Mm. The art gallery has been lucky, and this crazy photographer has been so blessed. Everyone in this room has had the pleasure of your pom-poms, encouragement, and laughter. You might not be the tallest cheerleader, but you stand tall, and we bask in your shadow. We thank you, Mary, with open arms, knowing we will have to chase after you to properly salute you. I repeat what everyone has said at one time or another. We all want to be Mary when we grow up.
It's so true.
It's so true.
It's so beautiful.
Okay. Yeah. I know. And so when you said pom-poms, that, I went back. I said, okay, I'm changing the piece today.
Yeah. So. Mary LeVan is a very, very special. She, like I said, has more energy than like some 30-year-olds in the world. I mean, she is out there she's doing Zumba. She's hiking. And I always tease her about when she's maple sugar time at the Dunes National Park, and she's there as a greeting. And I always post on Facebook, she's the sweetest thing you'll see at the maple sugar time. Because, I mean, this woman just goes and goes and goes and goes. I mean, and if she doesn't get her 10,000 steps in a day, she's upset.
I got an email from her this morning thanking, because I performed at Paul Henry last night, and she stayed and waited it out to hear me. And I got an email this morning thanking me, and she said, I'm going to try to tune in and listen to you this morning.
Okay.
So, hi, Mary.
Hi, Mary. Well, I've gone over how you can also listen online, because she and William Kazak, who's a friend of hers and, a friend of like us, has done that type of thing, And I said, well, here's how you can listen to me, because I don't think she can hear the station Hammond, directly over the air.
Right. We'll figure it all out so she'll be able to hear it.
Yes, we will. So
you're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM, and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM.
Well, it's a whole different thing. I mean, I remember I gave a talk to Duneland Photography Club, and basically I knew there were a lot of that there's a wide range of people that are experience levels, but they asked me to do that to kind of tell them about how to exhibit, what the things that, And so I kind of went over through that process because it's a whole different thing. You know, taking your things out of the camera and off the screen and up on the wall. I always tease the people, you know, friends don't let friends shoot with Nikon. And the reason that comes from Canon shooters is for years, Nikon was the premier thing. And Canon was always like the second tier. And that changed when digital went to what Nikon and every other digital was using the CCD sensor, which is kind of came from the video. And then Olympus actually developed the CMOS sensor. But they couldn't quite get it to really work. And, of course, Canon, having a much larger corporation, was able to the digit processor, and bam, they took off. And so many professionals that had Nikon equipment threw it over and went to Canon for that. Now it doesn't matter as much, but still, Canon's a larger corporation. But the other thing,
my Nikon,
I'm
sure. No, and like you committed.
I went from Minolta to Nikon.
Yeah,
so. But there, I have to say, there are Nikon lenses that will beat a Canon lens tenfold. That there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if you get in the L series lenses, you're talking. Yeah, because look at this.
You take a mortgage out for those.
Well, I know, and that's why I have a couple of L series. But if you look at the sidelines, like at sports events, you see all those white lenses. Yeah. Those are all Canon shooters. Mm-hmm. But both of them, both Canon and Nikon, need to watch out for Sony, because Sony is a much larger corporation and have been doing video processing for years. Yeah. So their whole TLR camera, which means you translucent instead of having the mirror flip up, they do that. They both need to watch your tails for that, because Sony is huge. By the way, you're listening to Art in the Air with Carol Estes. We're on WVP 103.1 FM and Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. So, well, Carol, you took on a new role recently with the Area Artists Association. Stepped in. I have to tell you a funny story. When I first joined, Ed came and said, "You want to be president?" I went, "No, you know, I don't believe in becoming an officer of any organization until I've been in it a while." So, but now you stepped into that, didn't you?
I did, and I had the same thing happen. I've been a member about a year and a half now, and by the end of summer from my first year joining, I had the same thing. "You want to be president?" I said, "No, I was only just a few months into membership." Yeah. And then this past fall, they asked me, and I agreed to lead it and felt a little bit more confident. I've kind of gotten into more mixed media, so I have an appreciation for broader platforms and mediums. And so I felt more comfortable leading a group as a photographer. And so it's been an enjoyable experience. And tomorrow we're finishing up our the Area Art Association 40th anniversary show. Will hang through tomorrow at Lebesnik Art Center. And it's an absolutely beautiful show. And there's a closing reception tomorrow afternoon, but it's open today and tomorrow until 5 o'clock. And you can get in to the main gallery. And it's just a wonderful show of our local artists.
And you have three pieces of your more abstract pieces in there that kind of related to each other.
Yes, they did. I planned it that way so that it would be a bit of a grouping, so that you would see in it, and it's the Gulf of Mexico where the water moves toward each other, and so the pieces all lean into each other, so they all look like they belong. And it's actually probably one of my most popular series I have done. And people just really appreciate it. And they're always asking me how I did it. And it's just amazing to do, because it's just so much fun to teach myself more. And I have the Pluto. It's still in the box, my trigger. So it's on the list of things to do. When I see the smoke come back through my Facebook, I said, "God, dig that Pluto out." But then I go out and start moving my camera again. So now there's a whole other series.
Very good.
And, yes. And
well, one of the most famous are the Cardinals, of course.
Right.
And it was taken in my backyard in 2014, and I lucked out in the fact that that year the Hoosier Women Artists named me for the state of Indiana with the Indian Arts Commission. It hung in the Lieutenant Governor's office.
What was the theme that year?
It was open.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they're almost, this year was not open, but the other previous, they're just generally open. But I had just taken it a few weeks prior, and Laura Cutler actually said, was telling me about it. She said, but you can only put one picture. I just taken this picture. Oh, the Cardinals are cool. So I thought, I'll just send that one. And then it ended up Birds and Bloom magazine. And then Birds and Bloom magazine did an article online, the 51 most amazing bird photos, something. my cardinal photo is the cover photo. So everybody and his mother, thank you very much, has a screenshot it, shared it, and now it's had over 30,000 shares since it has been keeps.
And where can they see it right now? Like, they want to go look at it.
And I believe it's I have a broken link on my welcometocarolworld.com is my website. And I need to fix the link for some reason. I just noticed the other day it'd be on there. But I have one other thing is that the 13th, I have a women's suffrage piece that is going to be at the Women Made Gallery in Chicago, and that opens March 13th. I forgot to write it down.
Yeah.
So that's been really exciting.
And you're going to be in the South Bend for the Love of Art show, correct?
Yes, next weekend, two days. We set up on Friday, and then we have a 2-day, and I do photography on many different platforms, and I'll have all of the creative stuff. I do it on Tree Bark, and I do luminaries and jewelry. And so I've just been expanding out, trying to find...
Are you doing that solo or with Rhonda again?
No, I just have
you?
Just me, myself, and I. All three of us.
So
the booth will be full for three of us, yes.
And we'll explain that about Rhonda. You guys had a gallery for a while in Michigan City.
Yes, and down to Michigan City. And Henry was there, and Brabant was there.
Still there.
Yes, Brabant's still there. And we shared a studio, and we had met a lot of great people and had a lot of great times, and kind of did a gallery thing rather than a working studio. But we were open first Fridays and whatnot, right. and it was really wonderful downtown Michigan City while we were there.
Yes. And they move very fast. Yes. They don't stay in place very long.
What I explained to people is one thing I learned for all the time. No. And it's just that LaPorte County has all of the blizzards. Because of the blizzards that we have, they drop out of the sky, and they'll be 22 inches in less than 30 hours. Now, the birds know to frenzy feed ahead of the storm because they sense danger. So I learned that when I dig everything, I stop whatever I'm doing. When the snow hits, I'll drop everything because I know what's going to happen. Yeah. But I went back and I was shooting for hours all day that day. And with my sliding door open, it was like 10 feet away, and with the long fence in front of me. But I went back onto my computer, and the one image prior to on the computer, one of the cardinals was turned the other direction, and then the one right after that shot, one of them had flipped the opposite direction on the fence. And that is by just rapid fire shooting. So you know how quickly the birds do. And I didn't think about it. I think my friends on Facebook the next day said they were like going crazy on my Facebook and say, oh, it was just like another shot. Ever really grasp the gravity of the photo? Because I was waiting for the next one. Because, you know, like always waiting for the next one. Right. Oh, that's really cool. But what, you know, what's around the corner? So, but
you probably do what I do is you shoot things, and sometimes you think, oh, I got a good shot, but you kind of file them away, and then I revisit them and say, oh my gosh, that is really good. I mean, I know the one that I was out in the kayak on my lake, and you know, herons are very skittish, but I was actually at this point just paddling for the fun of it, and I came back and I saw this heron we have a little island across, so I just kind of stopped and started shooting. It let me shoot it for like about 35 minutes. It just kind of waited, and we usually that's totally unusual for a great blue heron. They usually are off. And I got fairly close. I probably got as close from where I'm in the mic to the other side of the studio. And it just did that for the longest time. But yeah, that was a rare thing too. And I haven't even done anything with those shots yet. I've just got them processed and not out of the digital world.
You can always tell when he comes back he's been on his kayak in good weather. There you go. Oh, he did it again. There he goes. Oh, there it goes. Some more.
So you have a new exhibit coming up at Paul Henry. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I am fortunate to have a solo show coming up, and it opens March 21st at Paul Henry Art Gallery in Hammond, and it's called More #ShadesOfShe, and I had a previous solo show called Shades of She, and now it was all about women, and now I've expanded and I'm doing so many more things that it's more, and now the Shades of She is actually the Shades of Me. So you'll be able to see all the many facets of the work and where I have come to do.
And that opens?
March 21st at Paul Henry Art Gallery reception from 2 to 8.
Did you design the card?
I designed the
card.
It's
really nice. I like it a lot.
And she has her self-portrait here on there too, which is very unique. Very good. Well, we thank you for being on the show. We've been listening to Carol Estes and Art in the Air, and it's a great conversation about photography and art. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. live and rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. By the way, one thing I didn't mention real quickly is we are now about six platforms on great podcasting. You can go to anchor.fm, look up Art in the Air, and we're right there. We're your hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovach, our station manager. Hey, our underwriters once again are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord Walt Breininger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts. Again, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts or arts-related event, that's artontheair@gmail.com. That's artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we have Tim King returning from the Port Symphony Orchestra. He's going to be talking about the Hoosier Star program for young people to audition for. He'll be our guest and take us there, and we have some other great things. Go to our website to find out what's happening. See you next week, right here on Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart. Express yourself through art. And show the world your heart.